Pastor Perry has asked me today to speak about the teachings and the parables of Christ. So I'm hoping to be sharing with you on this topic today. So this one we're taking from the book of John. You might, if you have been here for the last couple of Sundays, you know that we are reading from the book of John. And the book of John has what we call a lot of specialized language. I call it esoteric language. So it's a book that is somehow difficult to understand if you're taking it from a perspective of a layman. And also today, I'm going to speak about on this book, which is a little bit difficult to understand, and it becomes more, the situation is worse for someone like me who cannot speak good English, but I'm hoping I'll be able to expound the message as the Lord wants you to receive it today. Yeah, you know, English is my fifth language. Before I learned English, I had already learned four languages, so it's a little bit difficult for me, but I hope I'll be able to speak. But before I start reading the text I've prepared for you today, I would like to pray. Lord, I thank you. I'm just a sinner who was saved by grace, and today I stand before your people to minister your words and to speak about the word of God, which has given birth to us as Christians. So the word is the word that nourishes us in our walk with you. So I pray that today, as I speak, may we have the complete and full understanding of what you want us to grasp today. Father, use my lips and my tongue that I will speak only your will today. That I will speak only what you want to communicate to your people. Have your way today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I have given us a verse here. This is the second part of it. And from the book of John, if you would read in your Bible, in chapter number 7, verse 37, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So I said earlier that most of the teachings that we find in the book of John are sometimes challenging to understand. And in the book of John, if you read, there are a couple of verses that you find in the book that are very deep in meaning. And sometimes if you do not have deep instruction in the scriptures, it becomes difficult to grasp what he wants to communicate to you. But today I'll be speaking from a perspective of a layman and just put some texts and see what lessons we can get from those texts and apply them in our life. If you read in the book of John, there are several passages. For example, I'm going to be reading some of them. For example, you find in the book of John, chapter number 4, verse 10, he talks about what Jesus told to this woman. And he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters." In the book of John, chapter 6, you see, he says here from the 27th verse, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall no longer hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Again, there are some more passages in John 6, 51. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I'll give you for the life of the world is my flesh. In chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And the book of John chapter 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In chapter 12, he says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. In chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, in all these passages, we see very deep truths revealed here. And Jesus declares that he gives waters. He gives living waters. So you may wonder, what is living water? How is supposed to understand what the Lord is saying here? And also he declares that he is the bread of life. And in this chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus declares that he is the bread of life, if you read there, going down from the verse 50 and downwards, you see that many people, after that teaching, that specific teaching that is related in chapter number 6, they stopped following Jesus. They said, this is a very difficult teaching for us to comprehend. So just few people remained with him, and Jesus asked them, also the 12, what about you? Will you not leave me? And they said, where would we go? Because you have life. So we see in all these passages, and also here in chapter 6, Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and this is the bread that's given to those who believe in him. Chapter 8, again, I said here, he said, the one who believes in his word, the one who keeps his word, would never see death. And also chapter 10 here, it declares that he's the good shepherd. And these teachings, for many times, if you see, you remember Pastor Perry, when he gave the introduction, he said that the book of John is a little bit different from the previous books. So people who study the Bible, sometimes when they come to the book of John, they have problems because they think it's a little bit contradicting to what is said in the previous books. But if you read it carefully, you find out that that's not the case. And Pastor Perry, when he spoke, he made mention to these points and how we see Jesus described how the Gospels present Jesus to us. And he said in the book of Matthew, Jesus is presented to us as king. In the book of Mark, as a servant. Jesus as a servant. And Jesus as the Son of God. I'm sorry for the repetition there. So, and the book of Luke is Jesus as the Son of Man. And the book of John, if you see in the book of John, they say Jesus is the Son of God. So I have separated John there and I put it down because I said it's different when what you see from the book of John and what you see in the previous three books. Again, I apologize for the mistake there. It should have been Jesus, not Luke, Mark, Luke. If you read in the book of John chapter 5 and you get to the 17th verse, the Bible tells us there, this you want to describe, Jesus here speaks and describes himself as the Son of God. He says in this passage, but Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. And 18 say, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal to God. So in this passage, Jesus heals a man who has been paralyzed for 38 years. And then Jesus here does a miracle to him and tells him this man was laying there in the pool waiting for the angel to move the water, to stir up the water that he could get in and be healed. So Jesus finds this man and asks him, do you want to be healed? And he says, when the water is stirred up, nobody's there to help me and put me in the water. And Jesus heals this man and tells him to carry his mat and walk. And this happened in a Sabbath day. And when you read that chapter and you come here, it shows us how the Jews were offended because Jesus had healed someone on a Sabbath day. Not only had he healed him on the Sabbath day, he gave this man an order to take his, he ordered him to take his mat and walk. So this was a blasphemy in their tradition. And so again here, if you come to verse 18, he says, because Jesus claimed that his father was working and he also was working. So Jesus was claiming to be the Son of God, making himself equal to God. So this was a problem to them and they sought to kill Jesus. So we see one of the things that makes the book of John a little bit, as I was saying, deep in meaning, because you see, the people Jesus is addressing in the book of John is different from the people he is addressing if you read in the previous three books. Here, most of times, you see Jesus addressing the teachers of laws, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, so people who were studying the scriptures, who were specialists in the scriptures. So Jesus is, most of times in these teachings here, challenging these people. And here in this particular passage, he claims to be the Son of God. And by claiming to be the Son of God, the Bible tells us here, the Jews understood that Jesus was claiming equality with God. And they had a problem with that. Now, I would like to go back to my diagram here with the mistakes. So in this diagram, if you read the first three books of the gospel, he calls them the synoptic gospels, which means they present the life of Jesus in a similar fashion. They also present a sequence of events in a relatively similar fashion. Sometimes they even use the same wording. So then we come to the book of John and we find him presenting the sequence and sometimes a different kind of wording. And John here say Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus himself here proclaims in different passages from the book of John that he is the Son of God. So when we see this, we can ask ourselves, do we find similar descriptions in the previous books? Because as I was saying, that sometimes people have problems with Jesus calling himself here the Son of God in the book of John. Because this is also one subject that is a little bit difficult to understand for some Christians. It talks about equality of Jesus and God. And, you know, some people ask, how is Jesus the Son of God? How is Jesus God? So it's sometimes confusing and complicated. But you can see, do we find similar things in the previous books? And one of the earliest books, if you read the account of the synoptic description, it says the book of Mark. So you see Matthew and Luke, they took some of the narrations from the book of Mark. So do we see Jesus describing himself as the Son of God in the book of Mark? If so, can we find a parallel in what he's saying in the book of John, calling himself the Son of God? And I think the answer for this question is affirmative, because if you read in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 61, it says, again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And what was Jesus' response here to this questioning? He said, and Jesus said, I am. And you'll see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Upon hearing this, the Bible says, and the high priest tore his garment and said, what further witness do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. So this is very similar to what we saw in the book of John chapter 7, where the Pharisees had a problem and the teachers of the law had a problem with Jesus declaring to be the Son of God, because they say Jesus was claiming equality with God. So here in the book of Mark, Jesus says he is the Son of Man. And by calling himself the Son of Man here, we see that the priest tore their garments and they wanted to kill him because of that, because he claimed to be the Son of Man. So why was this the case? Why did they want to kill him just for proclaiming to be the Son of Man? You know, if you read here and see the Son of Man for us, maybe if you're not very familiar with the tradition or where Jesus was taking this statement from, it might seem a little bit very simple statement. But Jesus was taking this statement from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, from verse 13 to verse 14. And there Daniel describes how he sees Jesus and he calls him the Son of Man, and he declares how all the nations, all the people, all people from all tongues would one day bow to Jesus, and how Jesus had been given all the dominion, and et cetera, et cetera. So we see here there's a parallel in the book of John and what Jesus is describing in the book of Mark, and what he's describing if you read further in the books, in the previous Gospels. So you can see if sometimes people have difficulties understanding why Jesus here, he claims to be the Son of God, while it seems that in the other passages, he does not make such bold claims. Maybe this passage helps us understand where Jesus was coming from in the book of John. Amen. But how can we break down the teachings of the Lord Jesus in the book of John, and how can we take these teachings to help us in our walk with the Lord? Is it possible to find some way to draw some lessons from what Jesus was teaching in the book of John and help us as believers today to walk with him? I think we can approach this from four perspectives, and I've summarized these four perspectives and as how we can take the teachings of the Lord Jesus to help us as we walk with him. And the first one we see, as Jesus calls himself the Son of God, he shows us that he came to this earth to do the will of God. So say, Jesus' teachings centered in the will of the Father. Because he is the Son of God, he came to this world to do the will of his Father. And in the book of John chapter 7, verse 16, the Bible tells us, Jesus answering here to the teachers of the law, he say, my teaching is not mine, but he is who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teachings is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. And 18, this is where I want to lay the emphasis. It says, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. So we see Jesus here saying that his mission by coming to this world was to do the will of the Father. And I think we can take the Lord Jesus as an example for us, because we also are followers of the Lord Jesus, and we also are called in the Bible sons and the daughters of God. So we also need to seek to do the will of the Father, whatever the situation we find ourselves. You see, in this chapter, it's the same place where it describes that they were seeking to kill Jesus. So even though they were seeking to kill him, but he emphasizes here that his aim in this world was to do the will of the Father. So sometimes we also as believers, we go through so many things, and sometimes we lose track of doing the will of the Father. I think no matter the situation we find ourselves, we should ask ourselves, what is the will of the Father in that situation? What God wants us to do. How can his name be glorified in that particular situation? Maybe you might have lost someone in your life, and it doesn't seem to make sense what the will of the Father is for you in that situation. Maybe you lost something you counted dear and precious. Maybe you lost, I don't know, you lost maybe your job, or you're in a situation, maybe you are battling sickness, and things do not seem to make sense to you. How is this manifesting the will of God? So when we talk about the will of God, we are not talking about the will of God when everything goes smooth. Because you see here in this chapter, chapter number 7, things were not going smooth for Jesus. But yet, he claims that his ministry was to do the will of the Father. And if we take Jesus as an example, we can also seek in all our dealings to do the will of the Father. So this is the first lesson we can take in Jesus' teachings from the book of John. The second one we see in the teachings of the Lord Jesus. I say here, Jesus' teaching centered on the promise of the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, we find some declarations there of the Lord Jesus promising to send the Holy Spirit. And if you read in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37, this is what I put there at the beginning when we opened this talk today. And here it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So we see, what does the Lord Jesus mean here by flowing rivers of living waters? Here, he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit that he was going to give to his disciples. And also, indeed, the Holy Spirit is available today if we would ask from the Lord to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see the comparison he makes here of Holy Spirit and living water actually can be also found in the book of Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. Also, he also talks here about those who are thirst and about giving them waters. And he say, for I will pour water on the thirst land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." So the Lord here talking about Israel, how he would bless them and give them the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus also promises to his disciples that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them. So see, in the teachings of the Lord Jesus in the book of John, we can see how he promises to give us the Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, I think, is available today for us if we would ask of the Lord of his Spirit to help us. And actually, you and I, as a Christian, we all need the Holy Spirit in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that will show us the way that we must follow as Christians. Sometimes if you do not seek to hear the advice of the Holy Spirit, you do not seek to hear what the Holy Spirit says in certain situations in our lives, we may look at lost. We do not know what to do. We do not know the way to follow. But if we would listen to the Holy Spirit through prayers, maybe through studying his word, through the fellowship with the brothers and sisters, in all these situations, the Holy Spirit can talk to your life. The Holy Spirit can talk to my life and can tell us what we ought to do in the situation we find ourselves. So, if you are here today and you haven't been engaged in seeking for the Holy Spirit, in wanting to hear from the Holy Spirit, I would like to encourage you. And we see in the book of John, the Lord Jesus, this is a promise for all of us who believe in him. So if we would set our hearts in receiving the Holy Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is available to help us in our dealings, in our daily life. Amen. And also, in the book of, before I go there, the book of John, I didn't put it here, chapter 14. If you read there in chapter 14, is where the Lord Jesus makes it plain that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He was supposed to leave so that the Holy Spirit will be sent to those who believe in him. So we know the Lord Jesus is not here with us in our midst today. He's not here today. You'll not see the Lord Jesus here and there. But he still communicates his will. He still communicates his truth to us through the Holy Spirit. So we need to pray for God that he would bless us with the Holy Spirit. And another thing here, that this passage shows us, the Lord Jesus say, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And only if you want to flow rivers of living water, if you want to impact lives through the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit. And we know we, as Christians, we're not called just for ourselves, but we need to transfer the light that the Lord Jesus gave us to other people. No wonder the Lord Jesus says that we are the light and the salt of the world. So if you want to be the light and the salt of the world, you need the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. Jesus' teachings in the book of John is also centered on the love of God for us. And here I took it from the book of John chapter 16, the 27th verse. The Lord Jesus said, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." So Jesus here talks with his disciples and tells them, assures them that the Father himself loves them. The Father himself loves the disciples. The Father loves us. And if you see in the book of John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus says that this love is embedded in hearing his words and doing his will. The Lord Jesus says in chapter 15, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. What's the way we could show that we love God? Sometimes we say it out of our lips, out of our mouth. We say, we love you, Jesus. We love you, God. But the life proof that we would give is to do the Lord's commandments. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus does not stop there. He said, and I and my Father will come and make our dwelling in you. If you want to see God, if you want to see Jesus manifested in your life, if you want to see God, if you want to see Jesus dwelling in your life, then we need to keep his commandments. And you know, sometimes keeping the Lord's commandment is not very comfortable. You know, what the Lord tells us to do, not all the time is pleasing to us. But this is what he tells us to do, and we have to do it. You know, sometimes you might feel like, I don't feel like going to church. You know, you don't feel like going to church. You don't feel like coming to the congregation and fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters. You feel like being somewhere else, you know. But you know, it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 25, that we should not abandon the meeting with the brothers and sisters. So it's something we have to do. So we hear it and we do it. We hear it and we obey it, no matter how uncomfortable it may be to us. Because, you know, Paul also tells us that our flesh, you know, your body, you know, your emotions, your will is at war, you know, with what the Spirit of God wants for us, you know. So your body, your emotions will tell you to do something else. But we ought to follow the Lord's commandments in our lives. So see, here the Lord loves us, but this love is embedded in doing his word, in doing his command. In the book of Matthew, I believe it should be chapter number 7, verse number 24, if I'm not mistaken. The Lord says there that if anyone hears my word and put them to practice, I'll compare him to a wise man who has built his house on a rock. So storms came, all the adversities came, but they could not prevail against that house because the person had anchored his life on the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And maybe one last final aspect that I believe we can see and the teachings of the Lord Jesus in the book of John comes from John chapter number 17. Of course, the Lord is not teaching per se. He's doing a prayer here for his disciples. But you can see what his will is for his disciples in this passage. And I said here, Jesus' teaching centered on the oneness of the body of Christ. It's the will of the Lord that we as a church, we should be one. We should be united. We should be of one heart. We should be of one mind as we follow God. And here the Bible tells us, if you read from the 10th verse, it say, I do not ask for this only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So see, Jesus is saying a prayer here to his disciples. But he say he does not ask only for them, but for those who would believe through their word. And we are here today, we believed in the message that was preached by the followers of Jesus. And also this prayer also concerns us. And we as his followers, the Lord wants us to be one. The Lord wants us to be one as he and the Father are one. And you know, today, in today's world, there are so many things that might happen that could separate us. As a church, you know, we have so many denominations. We have sometimes we cannot come to one accord because probably it's the color of our skin. You know, some people say, I cannot go to this church because of this reason, that reason. Some people, because of the language, you know. You see, for example, us here in China, sometimes the language is a difficulty for us. I remember some time ago we were having many brothers here and sisters from Angola. And they were like me, they were Portuguese speakers, you know. So sometimes language, many things happen to separate us. But if the Lord Jesus prayed for unity, if the Lord Jesus prayed for oneness, I believe that this is something important for us believers. And we should look for oneness. You know, so many denominations. So people say, I cannot fellowship with you because I belong to this church. I cannot fellowship with you because I belong to that church. I don't believe this is the will of the Lord for us. The Lord wants his church to be one. So as we are studying, as we are reading from Jesus' word in the book of John, we can see how the Lord Jesus wanted us or wants us to be united as believers. So in short, I think these are the four areas that we can take from the book of John and we can put them in application in our life as we follow the Lord Jesus. And in summary, you can say the four points. Number one, say Jesus came to establish or to make us know and to follow the will of the Father. So in your life, whatever you are doing, whatever you are, we should seek to do the will of the Father. Ask yourself, whatever you're doing, this, what I'm doing now, does it glorify the Father? Is it in accordance with the will of the Father? You know, I'm having in my heart, those of us who are still maybe very young, you know, when you're very young, you might get distracted, you know. But when whatever you're doing, when you're young, this youth, the age, ask yourself, the places you go, the people you hang with, you know, the way you dress, the way you speak, is it in accordance with the will of the Father? Does it glorify the will of the Father? Paul said, whatever you do, if it's in eating or drinking, do it to the glory of the Father. So it's in the smallest things you do in your life, ask yourself, is that glorifying God? Is that manifesting the will of the Father? And if the answer is affirmative, you can keep on doing. But if the answer is negative, maybe you might need to sit down and think about it and consider your life and see if how you could do the will of the Father, how you could glorify the Father in your life. And also, I said the second point is the promise of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Do not live another day without minding the Holy Spirit in your life. Do not live another second without minding the Holy Spirit in your life. Whatever you do for the Father, if it's not inspired, if it's not in accordance with the Holy Spirit, it would be empty. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to follow the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to hear to the instruction of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you might ask me, I don't hear voices. I'm not speaking here about hearing voices while you're walking, or I'm not talking about prophecy, whatever it is. I'm talking about in your reading of the Word, in your prayer, in your fellowship, are you seeking to be sensitive to the Word of the Holy Spirit? You know, sometimes we have the inspiration. We have the Holy Spirit whispers in our heart, but we're too distracted to notice what he's telling us. Sometimes we notice, but we also ignore. Because I said a moment ago here that what our flesh wants, what our emotions want, what our heart wants, most of times is not in accordance with the will of the Father. And the point number three, as I was expounding, is the love of God. The love of God which was made available. Brothers and sisters, no matter the situation you find yourself today, be assured that God loves you. God loves you. But they said this love is embedded in how we do his will. See, we have also, as he loved us, and we claim that we love him back. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you are living a life that doesn't follow Jesus' commandments, you're living a life that is at odds with the declaration of love for him. We're living a life that is contrary to what he has taught us in the book of John, chapter number 15. And lastly, the oneness of the body of Christ. You know, last week we were having our small group discussion, and we addressed this point a little bit. Yeah, and some of our brothers, he spoke about some practical steps that we as Christians, we can engage in. I think especially for us, it's a special situation. We find ourselves in a different land, you know, where sometimes we are all following different things, or maybe the difference in terms of denomination sometimes, because we're here, it's more visible. So we can think of things that we can put in practice to build this oneness as the body of Christ. We can think of maybe some ways that could make us fellowship more, even with those who do not come here to exercise, but they call themselves Christians. So because us as body of Christ, we need to be united. So these are the four points that I would like to share with you today about the teachings of the Lord Jesus in the book of John. And I hope by the will of God and by the kindness of the Holy Spirit that the Lord will help us to follow these instructions from, as we see in the teachings of the Lord Jesus in the book of John. Amen. So I would like to, as I'm closing here today, I'd like for us to take some time to pray. I don't know if we could have the band helping us playing some background music. I want to take some time and pray for these 4 points in your life. If you know there's a specific area that is difficult for you to follow, and in these 4 points put it here, or is something that comes to your heart that from the teachings that we have been receiving from 2 weeks ago when Pastor Perry introduced the book of John and was teaching, is there anything that comes to your heart and you'd like to pray about that the Lord would help you? If it's an area you want to improve and you're hoping that the Lord would help you to improve, I want you to take this time and pray. You can join me and pray. Even as the brothers are playing the song, if you want to pray in the silence of your heart, if you want to say the words out, you can be free and pray. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you that you would remain in his will, that you would seek for the Holy Spirit, that you would crave the love of God. Not only that you would have the love of God, because actually the Lord loves you, but that you would love him back. How do we love him back? By doing his will, by following his commandments. And also, let us pray for oneness. in this age, maybe like never before, we need the church to be one. We need the church to be one mind, one purpose, one spirit, one walk, one search. So let's pray for oneness. Let's pray for oneness in His presence. We love you, Lord, today. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so much for your life, Jesus. And we see how you lived for the will of the Father. Thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit, which today is available for us. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that we would seek Him, that we would desire Him, Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord. We honor you today. And we pray for the oneness of the body of Christ. I pray for the oneness of the body of Christ that, Lord, will be united, that nothing will separate us. That languages will not separate us. Our social status would not separate us. The color of our skin would not separate us. But we would be one, united, as the only body of Christ, seeking to function well together as a body. And as you are the head, O Jesus, that you alone will be glorified. Have your way, O Lord, today in our midst, and may your will be done. I glorify you, Jesus. I honor you, Lord. Thank you. If Pastor Perry would come and maybe give the benediction. Amen. Thank you so much for praying, and pray for you that the Lord will help you. So Pastor Perry will give us the benediction, and maybe we'll be good to go today.
Shall we turn to our feet, please? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O Lord, for this wonderful teaching. Father, may it be bread to our lives. May it be water to our hearts. And may we continue to walk in you, growing in you, and living a life that pleases your name. May we receive the benediction. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord establish you. And may the Lord draw you near to Himself, even as you worship Him, in spirit and in truth. May the Lord cause His peace to be upon you. May the Lord teach you how much He loves you and how much He calls you to love others. May you be a blessing to all those you meet in this week. I pray for this week. May this week be a blessed week. May this week be a week of open doors. May this week be a week of pure joy. Joy in the Lord. Joy unstoppable. May this week be a week of peace. And may you rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen.